Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for making a way to salvation in and through Jesus Christ. As we pray for our family and the unsaved who are around us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name and amen. I think sometime about constant communication with God. That is reflected in 1 Thessalonians 3:16, to pray without ceasing. And for some, it is easy to pray without ceasing, and for others, it is not so easy. And I think we go through each day, and as we go through each day, we consider the eternal destination of heaven or hell for people around us, and of course, for us and the people who we love, as we interact with each other and we interact with God. It's something to do each and every day to pray for people and talk to God in our strong relationship with Jesus Christ. A week or so ago, I remember praying for people, and I think of how that praying without ceasing is such an important thing. As I think about the healing that we need, many of us need healing in our mind, our heart, or just in something. It might be our body, but healing is very important, and a part of that I perceive to be forgiveness. As we forgive other people, we might even have to forgive ourselves. Well, let us stay humble in what we ponder and consider about our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Because we all know there are things we could have done better with, and we will keep trying to be faithful in our words and our actions. We thank God for his patience with us. And I think of the times in my life that I have had a strong sense of something that needed to be said or some action to be taken. And I'm grateful to God for every one of those that I understand and believe the Lord was guiding me in. I am thankful to God. And I'm thinking of Luke 17 or 11 or something, right in there, where God healed the lepers. And then only one returned to thank God. And I think of how often we ask for something and then we do or do not thank God for what he has given us. And sometimes it is just the briefest prayer where we ask God for help. And we get something that is helpful. Or we get a big thing that we can say, wow, Lord, thank you. But it's always a little bit different. A big interaction or a little interaction. But God does answer our prayers. And sometimes this in ways which we certainly do not expect. I'm just thinking of my mother-in-law about how she was on a stretch of lonely highway taking older women, who she went to church with, and she was taking them back home. And she was on a really unused section of the highway. And suddenly there came along in the oncoming direction an emergency vehicle. So she pulled off the road. And there was a spot of mud off the road and her car got stuck. Of course, she had this little prayer. I don't know how little it was, but it could have been simply, Lord, help me. And so, God is an amazing God, and He helps us in many ways, we can't even understand. But there she was on this unused section of highway, pulled off the road, stuck in the mud, and she had prayer. There was no traffic on this road, either coming or going, not in either direction. And as she sat there, she saw a fellow on a bicycle coming towards her on that stretch of highway. The two ladies in the back seat just continued talking and didn't have anything to say. But as the man on the bicycle approached, he slowed down and asked my mother-in-law if she needed help. And my mother-in-law said, oh yes, I'm stuck in the mud and I can't get out. So he said, let me go in back of the car and push you. And that's what he did. He got off his bicycle, pushed the car, and the car got onto firm ground and could go again. She went a foot or two and then stopped to thank that man on the bicycle. The man was gone. She questions if that man was an angel who stopped to push her out of the mud spot. I suppose we'll never know until we get to heaven what actually happened, but he certainly could have been an angel. And then to have him appear so quickly and then disappear completely. She looked up and down the road as she went to thank him and could not see him or his bicycle in either direction. So there are things that happen in life, and we are grateful to God for answering our prayers. What an amazing prayer can be answered. It's just so wonderful. And since I'm talking about my wife's family, I will tell you another true story. How my wife's father had been growing weaker and weaker over some weeks, and now he was just spending his time in bed. My wife would go visit him, I understand it was hours with him, just to be with her dad. One day, she said, Dad, how are you doing? Are things all right with you? And his eyes opened and he said, yes, he was fine. And he told her there were angels around the bed. And she said, Dad, there are angels around the bed? What do they look like? He said they looked like regular people, but you knew they were angels. And kind of remarkable story. Well, I think it took another day and a half, and then he passed into the next life as he slept. Amazing story. But God does send angels to be messengers of God and helpers to us. And we thank God for the blessings that He gives us. There is so much in life for each of us to experience. Sometimes we get the day-to-day experiences, and sometimes we get a godly experience where God shares a part of eternity with us, whether it is with angels or just something that we have a little grasp of understanding. It's life, and life is wonderful. life is wonderful now, and with our eternal life, it is ever so much more amazing. We thank God for the possibilities that we have of heaven and spending eternity with Him. As we make decisions about how to live and what is sensible and what things we are going to face in life, are we going to face the problems around us? Are we going to have blessings around us that we give thanks to God for? Oh, there is so much to be grateful to God for, including salvation through Jesus Christ. I remember about 4 years ago, a little more, there was somebody called Howard Pittman, and he talked about how many people went to heaven. Now, I think there have been a few conversations I've had about how many people go to heaven, how many go to hell. Would it be half and half? Half go to heaven, half go to hell? And there's another point of view, a tithe. That there's a concept of a tithe in the Bible. So, would 10% of the people be going to heaven? Well, we certainly wonder about these things, and we certainly don't know, but there is an argument to every thought that we have about how many go to heaven and how many go to hell. Well, let's see, that thing about Howard Pittman that I heard when he recorded his testimony, he told about having a heart aneurysm, a major artery burst. And he went to the hospital and he was in surgery and just hardly alive for half an hour. And that was a time when he talked about having a heavenly experience where he went to the gates of heaven, not into heaven, but the gates of heaven. And while he was there, oh, it was his habit to count things. And he counted the number of people who went into heaven. And then when he got out of his surgery, a few days later, he checked to see how many people had passed away on earth in that half hour. And after doing the math, he estimated that 2.5% of the people who had died went into the gates of heaven. Now, I certainly don't know how to verify this. I don't know of any thing that talks about a percentage, unless it's the 10% tithe. But it's a question that we all might be pondering and wondering. Who gets into heaven? How many? And will we be among the few? Well, we have something to do to be faithful to Jesus Christ. And we want to get into heaven. And there may even be a certain competition. I will call it that, even though it's not what I would consider a perfect word to use. But we have to want to get into heaven. And I think of 1 Corinthians 9:24 and 2 Timothy 4:8. In both places, it talks about a race in life where we try to get the crown of victory and a crown of righteousness. So I think it's okay to use that concept of there being a contest to get into heaven. Some will make it, some will not. Do we know how many? No. We have some indicators, but they're really just guesses. However, we do want to make it into heaven, and we do want to have a lifestyle and habits that will prepare us for living in heaven. And yes, I think that means choosing to live for Jesus and choosing to live according to the standards that are good and godly. Now, I have to admit that it's a guess that what I am doing to talk like this, but somehow if we're going to try and figure it out, we do have to consider what some different ideas are. And how will we seek to do God's will and to not do evil as we go through life? I think that that's a part of how we can prepare for heaven, by doing God's will. So we ask these questions and we try to find answers as best we can. But still, it's not the same as knowing. We don't know, but we have indicators. And obviously, God does not like evil. And do you think that he would be willing to allow any evil that you are clinging to get into his heaven? I don't think so. But that's something I guess we all get to decide. How we are going to live, and are we going to have any evil that we cling to that would cling to us if we were going to get into heaven? No, I don't think so. I just don't think so, but that's something each one of us determines. We determine things as we read the Bible, and we determine things as we listen to people. Some of them are false people, false prophets in a false religion, and somehow we have to seek the understanding and discernment to understand what is of God and what is not of God in the middle of all the religions and all the cults that there are in this world. And yes, we have opinions. But we try to make the best decisions and choices that we can that will be pleasing to God. So let's do it. Let's eliminate the false choices and the false directions that some people are choosing and choose to follow Jesus Christ and make the best decisions in front of us. Isn't that what we want to do? Do what we can to get into heaven? Oh, yes. Choose something that is godly and turn from anything that is an ungodly direction. Yeah, we all get to decide how to live and what to do in life. Are we going to listen to a false religion even? Oh, there's plenty of people that'll tell you they have the answers. And they will tell you just what to do to get into heaven. Well, better look real close to make sure that it lines up with what God says in his book, the Bible. I know there are people who think that if they kill somebody who is an infidel, that that will help them to get into heaven. I know there are people who have a fabric or cloth over their head so that only their eyes show. And they believe that following something that is a discipline in their religion will help them to get into heaven. Well, how would I know? Do I listen to them? I listen to the Bible, and I would ask, where do people get these ideas? Where do people get the ideas and principles that they expect to help them to get into heaven? It's something which we can really and truly ask and try to understand. And it's not quite like I can tell you the answers. I just can tell you, read the book, that we have the best understanding that is from God through Jesus Christ. And I think that's the best thing you can do. Search out Jesus and try to understand what he is requiring. And yes, of course, there is love and there is grace of Jesus and through Jesus. And that is, I think, a part of the heavenly journey also. But do we know the Word of God enough to help us understand what is true, what makes a difference to God? I think that is all a part of what we look into to try to understand how we are to live. And that's something we all get to choose and decide for our own journey. But find the truest book that you can find to search this information from. A book I think of, like right now, is James chapter 2, where he is talking about the middle of James chapter 2, where he talks about works being dead and having faith and having works. So what he says continues, and it shows that if you do works by the faith that you have, well, it's a good thing. Now, some people get confused when they read the Bible, especially a chapter like that, where it says things a little bit unclear, but you can get the direction and get an understanding of what God would have you to do. That's what I get out of it. And maybe you have some other ideas, but that's what I talk about because I'm talking. And God has principles, and he has teachings in the Bible and in the parables to show you about salvation and about love and faith and hope and many things which will help us to get through life to the very end of life. And in this world, we do have examples of things that go on. I think of the Bible. Wonderful examples, wonderful parables, and we can understand faith and works and love and law and obedience and compassion as we read God's scripture, his holy book. And then we get to choose between following the Lamb of God and following something else, whether it is our own ideas or following that dragon, that serpent of old, which is Satan. Somehow, we get to read, we get to search, we get to decide about what we are going to do and follow in our thoughts, our life, and our actions. And then we weigh it all as we live, and we make our choices and determinations if we are going to be guided according to biblical principles, or there's so many who want to be guided by their momentary desires. I can only imagine what that would lead to. Do you think it would lead to eternal life? Or do you think it would lead to eternal damnation in the lake of fire? Well, we all have choices. And a part of our choices are to search out what we would do and how we should live. Are we going to live a heavenly lifestyle as if we are living for Jesus? Or are we going to live a lifestyle that we might want to live as we follow our lusts? Well, nobody knows. It's just that we have a good indicator if we just read a little bit here and a little bit there about the choices that are confronting us and the ones we will make. Are we going to elevate our own will and our own desire? Or are we going to elevate God's will and desire through Jesus Christ? Because we are making a decision as we live each and every day. Do we belong to God or do we belong to our own self, which has earthly desires? Well, I think of Isaiah 14:13 that reflects on our attitude. As we can borrow this too, I think of Eve and Adam. How, well, let's go to Isaiah 14:13, where the scripture tells us that Satan is saying he will be like the Most High. He will be like God. And then there's Genesis 3:5 that shows us how we desire to be like God. If we eat the fruit, that we will know good and evil just as God does. It's the knowledge of good and evil, which, oh, there's so much evil in the world. There's some things I wish I didn't know. But here we are in the middle of knowledge. And what are we going to do? What are we going to choose? What are we going to look at and look into? Well, I hope that we have learned to look into what is good and godly. According to God, what does He say is good and godly? Well, let us look and recognize that we do have humanity and we are going to make decisions. Some of them are the best and some of them are not the best. As we seek life and not death as we live, we want to choose to belong to God. And we want to be able to ignore the natural order of things and choose to belong to God instead of nature on this earth. Well, there are decisions. We all have decisions. And are we going to choose the godly direction or the earthly direction? And then how will that reflect on our eternity in heaven or in hell? We all make decisions, and I pray for you to make a God-honoring decision to belong to Jesus Christ and to love Him. Now, God makes us in a certain way, and are we to say, Lord, I want to be different? Are we going to say, Lord, I accept the way you have made me, and I accept where you have placed me right here on earth. I pray to do your will right here on earth where you have placed me. We all have these choices about what we choose. Are we going to choose to follow what God has, well, I see it as intending for us, and that's something we all get to search out. Are we doing what is good and godly according to God's will? Or are we seeking to do our own will in life? We ask God through Jesus Christ to be the Lord of our life. And then let us talk with Jesus and try to understand what it is that He has in mind for us. Isn't that really what we're wanting here on earth? I think it is. Of course, we all make decisions and we search for understanding. And that's a part of what reading the Bible does. As I think of Isaiah 40:31 and Psalm 27:14, which tells us to wait upon the Lord. And that's one of the hard lessons in life, where we have to wait upon the Lord instead of doing what we believe is right. And so many times in my life, I have thought I was going to do the right thing. And I made a decision And I acted on it. And too many times I have wished that I had waited upon the Lord to hear what was His will. And so I caution you about that, about waiting upon the Lord. That is what I see is the best you can do. Pray. Seek the Lord and wait for His answer instead of making a decision on your own. That is what I suggest. And it's something that we have to settle in our own mind, as we have seen it happen over and over again, how God's decisions are the best. But sometimes we think we can make the best decision, whether we think of it as godly or just helping us. But we all have that decision to make. And I urge everyone to think about waiting upon the Lord as we hear a decision right in front of us. What are we going to do? Let our Lord confirm it. And then we live it and act on it. Now, there's so many people who need to know Jesus, and we tell people near us, people who we love, people who are our family, people who we know, and we tell people sometimes who we don't even know. We might not even like them, but we tell them about Jesus because we know how terrible hell can be, and we don't want anyone to go to that terrible, terrible place. There are a few people who have but they talk about it on the internet and they tell you about their experience after life, where they have an experience of hell. And it is so terrible that you don't want anyone to go there. Not the people you love, the people you know, not the people you don't like. It's something that is so terrible that we want to pray constantly for the salvation of the people around us. Whether they like us or whether they don't like us, we don't want anybody to suffer like that. Well, we have trouble happening all over in life. Oh, we have trouble happening in the eternal life too. And somehow we have to have some determination of how we are going to deal with life in the midst of the trouble there is. Are we going to seek God, or are we going to be a part of the world? And that's something we all have a choice to make, and we have to know what we are going to do and what we are going to believe. I think of the years that I have spent thinking about doing things right and following what I understood to be the best way to do things. But that might not have been biblical wisdom. In fact, most of the time it wasn't. It was what I understood to be the best choice. But to think about following biblical wisdom has always been the best answer that I could have given and done. And somehow we have to ponder biblical wisdom and biblical knowledge. We have to pray for understanding and find out how we can do the will of God through Jesus Christ. And prayer helps amazingly. So that's what I want to encourage you to do, to find prayer, or to do prayer, that makes a difference for your life. As we go through life, we see so many things of what we attribute to as knowledge. Sometimes it is earthly knowledge, or knowledge of law, of government, of penalties that are going to happen. And we want to avoid the penalties and live right in Jesus Christ. So that may or may not be according to what the Bible describes. A man's law is often quite different from man's laws,
God's laws and man's laws are different. So when we see things happen that don't quite make sense to us, we can be sure that they still make sense to God, because God is in charge and we can get consequences from the things we do or what we speak about. All of it has consequences, and we want to be smart enough to pay attention to what happens and learn from it so that we can be right living as we go through life and learn to follow what is in the Bible. Learn to follow God through Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's hard to believe that there really is man's law to tell us this thing or that thing. But we have to realize that it is man's law and man is fallen. So let us be patient with what we hear and discern it so that we can follow God's law and biblical wisdom and not follow the things which are of man and the earth. So we all have ideas. We all have, and we hear advice of so many people. Some of the people are church people. Some of the people are pastors. And pretty much they have good advice. But we still have to check it out to make sure that it is God-honoring and coming from biblical principles. There are examples of warning all through the Bible. There's warnings of our behavior, our morality, and even of money. Money is a very popular topic in the Bible. And the Bible tells us about how to live with and without money and the importance of money. And today we look at all the people around us and the countries around us. And the countries are having quite a, I'll call it a choice as to what to do and how to deal with their own monetary system, and how to deal with the monetary system of the world through central banks and through the U.S. dollar, because there are questions everywhere about what we are to do. And to a lot of people, it's pretty evident that there is going to be a crash coming. Yes, in the United States, and yes, in the whole world, because the whole world is living with an unsecure financial principles, and they just are not living according to either God's will or sound financial principles. I'm thinking of how it says that the borrower is servant to the lender. And the United States has borrowed so much money, and so has just about every other country in the whole world. They have borrowed money from the international bankers. And so who are we a servant to? You know the answer to that, because the Bible tells us we are a servant to the lenders. What are we doing to understand life and understand godly principles as we live life and obey God's word, the Bible? What are we doing? Are we actually studying what to do? There are principles that if we learned, we would have a more healthy life, personally, socially, and as a community, as a society and a government. And we have the warnings to show us this and that, how there are principles that we are not watching. All the countries are not watching. And all the countries of the world, in my view, are headed to a, should I call it a crash? They're headed to financial problems. And I think of the people who have warned about this for 20, 30 years. They warned about this in the 2008 crash. They warned about it for 10 years before that and 10 years after that. I think of Jacob Rothschild was one of them who said that we are on a course that cannot be continued. And it was a reference to the United States government having so much debt. Now, there are plenty of fund managers that have said the same thing. They would say it a little different, but that is what they said. The course that we are on is unsustainable, and there will be a crash. Will it be around the world? Oh, yes, it will be around the world. The crash will be around the world. And what can we do to avoid it? We can live by God's principles that He tells us in the Bible. That's what we can do. The people who are money people, who are central bank people, they can see what will happen in the future because of the unsound financial path we are on. The United States is on it, and so is really every country of the world. So we can guess what's going to happen, and it won't be pleasant, it won't be good. And that means we should see what is sensible for each one of us to do to make our financial situation solid. And really what that means is don't borrow. Pay off what you have outstanding, whether it's a bill or a deed of trust or some kind of a mortgage. Pay it off. Ask God to help you to find a way to pay it off, and then be faithful as God supplies extra so that you can pay off your mortgage or your debt. That is what happens as we go through the decline all around us. Yes, it is a moral decline, and it is also a financial decline. Everything is going into a decline. You have to look for yourself. I see it so clearly, but not everybody sees it. So I ask you to look and see what the troubles are that could quickly come to our financial situation and affect us. Because there are people who are our enemies in life, and they want the United States to collapse and to fail. They want to have every area of the United States go into chaos, from the military to the electricity and the water, and every utility. They want chaos, and out of chaos will come their order. That is a slogan that the New World Order uses. Order out of chaos. And of course, it is their order, not your order, and not a godly or good order. So what can we do? We can get organized to try to understand what is going to happen, what is likely to happen. It's not so hard to see, and we have plenty of financial people who tell us what is ever so likely to happen. And for that, I say let us get stable in what we can do to stabilize our personal financial life and our personal family life. That's what we want to do. Take steps towards it. If a crash comes, it will be so devastating for each one of us and for the world. Things will not be easy. The central banks all over the world are buying gold. Tons of gold. They are buying tons of gold. So if that's the principle that they understand, perhaps each one of us should buy a little gold. And I really do mean a few ounces of gold, because that's about all we can afford. We cannot afford a pound of gold or a ton of gold. And if gold is too expensive, we might get a few ounces of silver or a few pounds of silver. I mean, that's the next best thing. And let us do something that is sensible according to, well, it is biblical. Gold and silver is biblical money, because that is what is always talked about as money in the Old Testament. So there are people who only buy gold and silver because it is biblical money. I don't know what to tell you about it. All I am doing is saying that's what some people do. Maybe you should do it too. I don't know. I just know to share things with you and tell you about what I see going on and what we can possibly do about it. As we seek to understand what is going on in our economy and in our family and the people we know, in our churches, how do we stabilize things when there's trouble and chaos all around us? It is important for us to seek to do God's will as we live. And a part of that is to speak the gospel. And a part of that is to stay financially stable and morally stable and stable as a society and as a family. Now, I know there's only so much we can do, but what we can do, we ought to do. We ought to do something that preserves our life and our society. As we see the reports all around us about things happening, trouble happening. Yes, it's all there. Troubles are happening. Do you see them? Most people can see them. You may or may not, but at least be thinking about what there might be going on, and that will give you a chance to maybe do something about it. As we seek Jesus and seek to live according to the will and the plan that Jesus has for our life, there are things that we can do to seek the strength of God through Jesus Christ and live in a way that is pleasing to God. Every family and every country, every person has things that they can see that indicate how they are to live and what they are to do. That is just goodness and godliness. And we have to figure out what we are going to do to understand, well, not just understand, but how to live according to the will of God. Sometime it's pretty quick and easy to understand. Sometime we have a few things that we have to figure out before we can actually do it. As threats are made against, well, everything. There are threats against the United States. There are threats against our churches, our institutions. There's threats against our family. And there are threats against the systems within the United States. They might be military. They might be our water systems, our food supply. Whew. Our food supply is getting attacked. As you look at the plants and the food processing facilities, that suddenly catch fire. Just like there was a company that produced missiles for the United States government, and they had a huge and giant fire that destroyed the whole plant. And that's a part of what is going on too, as we see and seek the things that are destructive to the United States of America. There are forces inside the USA that want to destroy the USA. Some of them are people. Some of them are leaders. Some of them are the army of people who follow. And that's quite well known, but if we never look, we never see it. There is a book called Unrestricted Warfare that came out of China a few years ago, and that expresses how there is a battle going on with capitalist America and how they are to fight completely that battle. It's all in their literature, and somehow we see it or we don't, but it's something which at least we can be aware of and try to understand what their goal is to defeat and take over the United States of America. It is said by different people in different ways. And so when we get a big understanding of it, we get an idea of what to do. Now, think about it and see what you would do and see how that lines up with what our government is doing. There are threats against the USA, against the many states in America, in many cities in America. There is threats against the society of America. And there is an ongoing effort to destroy what is good in America by foreign countries. There are forces shaping up to oppose America, from Russia to China to North Korea to Venezuela and Colombia, and other countries too, especially the Islamic ones like Iran and others. They have a plan to destroy the United States and then buy up what they can that is still good after the failure of the United States. So we should be aware of it and do what we can to make their efforts not work, and do what we can to make our efforts work to preserve the productivity and profitability of the United States. That's what we want to do as we deal with the errors and mistakes in our physical systems and our banking systems and the troubles that are around. We still want things to succeed. Now, we might have to go through the basics of having our own water, food, and warmth, or having something else. It might be having tools and garden seeds. But somehow there is always something we can do. And we know that there are people who you would call the elite people. And the elite people want to have some of those supplies for themselves. They want to have a nice warm house to live in. They want to have food and water. They want to have security. And they are making big steps to hire people to get it. So maybe we want to do that too. Well, in the meanwhile, you can get my preparedness pamphlet by writing a stamped self-addressed envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. I thank you for listening today, and you can listen to any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.